From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. After clamping down on security measures on international flights, the U.S. Transportation Safety Administration has relaxed the restrictions at the discretion of the captains. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
After a Nigerian man tried to blow up a Northwest Airlines flight near Detroit on Christmas Day, the TSA cracked down on in-flight security. It said that international passengers flying into the United States could not move about the cabin for 1 hour before landing and must keep their laps exposed, free of blankets or carry-on items. This was because a Nigerian suspect tried to detonate explosives that were covered by a blanket. The TSA also banned in-flight entertainment for an hour before landing, because the suspect said he used the maps to determine how close he was to Detroit. An industry source says the TSA has relaxed the rules. Now it is up to the discretion of the captain and crew on each individual flight whether to modify those restrictions or whether to follow them at all. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
North Korea's official Korean Central News Agency is reporting that Pyongyang has detained an American man who entered the country illegally last week. The report comes as South Korean activists say the 28-year-old American missionary Robert Park slipped across the border into North Korea from China last week in an attempt to call attention to the North's human rights conditions. In Tucson, Arizona, the Reverend John Benson, the pastor of the Life in Christ Community Church, says he knows that illegally entering North Korea from China may appear foolish to those who don't know Robert Park.
It's not crazy, it's love. That's what it is. Unconditional love. Robert's saying, if that's what it takes, then that's what I'll do.
The activists say Park entered North Korea on Friday. Britain's Prime Minister Gordon Brown and the country's Foreign Secretary David Miliband are criticizing China's execution of a British man for allegedly carrying drugs into China. The BBC's Mike Woolridge reports.
In a statement, the Prime Minister said he condemned the execution in the strongest terms and was appalled and disappointed that the British government's persistent requests for clemency had not been granted. He said he was particularly concerned that no mental health assessment was undertaken. Mr. Miliband said Britain and China were both completely committed to taking on the drug trade. The issue was whether Mr. Sheikh had become an additional victim of it.
That report from the BBC's Mike Woolridge. Japanese stock prices closed slightly higher today. The Nikkei average gained nearly 7 points, or 0.1%. Oil prices moved closer to $79 a barrel in Asian trading today. Benchmark crude for February delivery was up by 2 cents to $78.79 a barrel in electronic trading on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is NPR News. Crime in New York continues to drop. New figures just released say crime was down overall in the city, down 11% from last year and 35% since 2001. NPR's Marco Adler reports.
New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly and City Mayor Michael Bloomberg say 2009 is another record-setting year for what they always call the safest big city in America. Crime is falling in most of the country, and in fact, the current reduction reflects a nationwide trend. But in New York City, murders are down 11%, and the only major crime that is rising is felony assault, which is up 2%. Crime is down in all boroughs. In fact, Commissioner Kelly said homicides are set to drop to the lowest they have been since record-keeping began in 1963, when there were more than 500 murders. This year so far, there have been 461. The FBI's Uniform Crime Report showed New York for the first half of the year to have the lowest crime rate among the 25 largest U.S. cities. But murder and manslaughter fell 10% across the country. Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.
The death toll from yesterday's attack on a Shiite Muslim procession in Karachi, Pakistan, has risen to 33. The suicide bomber had targeted thousands of Shiites marching through the streets to observe Ashura, the most important day of a month-long mourning period for the 7th-century death of the Prophet Muhammad's grandson, Imam Hussein. Pakistani authorities say that sectarian groups have teamed up with Taliban and al-Qaeda militants, waging war against the government in a joint effort to destabilize Pakistan. Meanwhile, firefighters in Karachi have been struggling to put out dozens of fires set by Shiites angered by yesterday's attack. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.